There are a couple questions that are whole lectures in themselves, so I'm going to do my best to get to everybody's questions, and we'll just see how it goes. We're going to talk about the power of gratitude tonight, and we'll do some journeys and actually do some ceremony together. And I also want to especially take a moment again. I've already done this. Some of you have heard this, but now that we're starting, I'm going to welcome the four-leggeds that are with me here, the two horses that are right around the house, and one that's got his face right up against the door and looking through the window. So just invite that medicine, invite all of our relatives in, and just open your hearts and bring in, like, you know, the four-leggeds that have touched your heart, and just bring them in and welcome them in, and let us dedicate this tonight's lecture, tonight's prayers, to all of our relatives in nature who serve us in ways that we don't even know about in our ignorance. And we thank the Great Spirit and all of creation for all of our beautiful relatives in nature, and tonight especially the four-leggeds. We're going to talk about gratitude, but I wanted to start with all of us just sending out some prayer. First bringing it into ourselves, the healing, and then sending it out to where it's needed. And what I'm going to suggest we do is all pray Om together. We'll all chant together Om, and we'll do it 8 times, actually. 4 times, first for ourselves to fill ourselves, and then 4 times to send it out. And part of the aim of what I'm looking at tonight is that there's a lot of concern and fear about where we're all going. Like, we could go in 2 directions, it seems like, in this world. And there's a lot of conspiracy worry and all of that sort of thing. And I am not one. In my background and my teaching and from my elders and from my teacher, all of my teachers, but I'm thinking especially of my Navajo teacher, Annie Kahn, she always said, "I reject nothing." And what I've learned over the years is that it's important to just stay open to all perspectives, because people are thinking the things that they're thinking for reasons that they're thinking. And so whether these are just negative thought forms or something that's really possible, what we're going to do is just send the masters. We're going to send all the divine masters into all that fear and thought forms and just see people coming together in peace and beauty. So I'm going to invite you all to do that with me. And what I'm going to invite you all to do now is unmute. We'll all unmute, and then we'll all say Om together. Again, first filling ourselves, and then radiating it out, especially to this kind of fear and to that that tendency in the human, in the humanity, in ourselves, and humanity generally, to dominate and think that, you know, greed and all that sort of thing. We're just going to send healing to it, and not our own healing, but bringing the masters through and bringing the great. From the thinking mind to the feeling heart, the compassionate heart. And I thought that was a really good question. And so I thought I'd briefly talk about that, because being in the heart is really an important place in gratitude. And so I'm just going to talk a little bit about that transition. So as I meditated with that question, I realized that 4 things came up to me as possible ways to take that journey. And one is...
Hey, Dan Sinko. This is Lauren. I just want to give a reminder to everybody, or a request. Can everybody please check that their phones are muted? There's a few background noise from a few corners. Everybody check that your phone's muted.
Muted. Thank you. Can you hear me now? Uh-oh. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Okay, because it kept telling me I was muted. Okay, so the first thing is intention. The moment we intend something, we put energy there. And in you'll read that, like if you've ever read shamanic literature at all, shamans around the world talk about the importance of focusing intention. So the moment you intend something, it immediately focuses your energy. So from the place of your head and your mind, you take that focus of the mind and use it as an ally to focus on moving to the heart. And then, you know, people have different ways of doing this, of focusing their intention. And depending on whether you're auditory or visual or kinesthetic, you might just feel your way into the heart with your intention. Or you may just see a journey, you may visualize a journey with your energy going down into your heart. So you just intend it, which then, again, like I said, focuses that energy going down. The next thing is commitment, because you can intend it and then go about your business and head back up into your head and, oh, well, that was nice, you know, but we have to keep intending it, and because we're making a new habit. And we're kind of swimming up Niagara Falls in a way, because the world still encourages us to be very much in our heads, and although we're opening up and there's a lot more coming out about compassion and being in the heart and people are moving towards that and wanting that more, we're still swimming up Niagara Falls a bit. So that commitment to regularly paying attention and committing to be in my heart and spending time to be in our hearts and spending time to just be there and welcoming and opening to it, even though it's different, and realizing it's like, in a certain ways, if you travel to a foreign country and you don't really expect people to speak your same language, you know, well, some people do, but it's not really appropriate and they don't get along too well. So, you know, if I go to Guatemala, I'm going to expect that people are going to speak Spanish if I'm lucky, and they might speak, you know, the Mayan tongue. I'm not going to expect people to speak English. And so it's the same thing when we go into our hearts. It's a different language. So we just keep open and listen and let the judgment go by and just stay open and listen. It's non-linear, it's much more circular, and it can seem kind of chaotic, and it definitely is not going to necessarily make sense to the mind. It's not going to be rational and linear, and you know, there's that tendency to go, well, why am I feeling this? That's silly. Nope. You just say, well, maybe it is silly, but I'm going to feel it anyway. So that commitment, so the intention and the commitment, and then the awareness, which I sort of just lit on a little bit about just being aware of the ways in which we're judging our hearts, in which we, in what kind of little thought forms or little things cause us, beliefs or whatever, cause us to fly back up into our heads. And being aware of, like, the difference between the head and the heart and how the head judges and the ways that the head dominates. And this will be different for all of us. And then, lastly, perseverance. So along with commitment is practice and perseverance. So that's brief. That could be a whole lecture in itself, but I thought at least I'd just touch on it briefly and give you four tools to start heading in that direction. So intention, commitment, awareness, and practice and perseverance. Okay, let's talk about gratitude. In these times especially, we just talked a little bit about, you know, some of the kind of fear about the worst possible scenarios kind of thing. And again, like I talked about in that first lecture, in 1999, the spirits said it was really, really important to dream the good dream. And so what we do with that is not ignore it, but dream the good dream. So just even getting that picture, sending that picture of all the people holding hands around the world and people coming together with hearts open to one another is a great antidote for all of that kind of thing, those kinds of images. But bringing the divine through so that it's bigger than just our visual, just our simple prayer. And then And so there's a lot going on. There's a lot of earth changes. For sure, we know that that we're in a in the end of an era, and thank heaven, because we want to move out of this patriarchal era and this domination of nature and, you know, all this domination nonsense. We are moving out of it. And the prophecies around the world, like I talked about, talk about that. But in the moment, we're in the sort of breakdown period. We're in the void and the dissolution of what's old. And one of the early on, I can't believe it was in, I think it was either in 1999 or 2012 or so, one of the Hopi came out and said that right now we're in a time where it's as if we're all caught up in the roar and the flow of a great huge river that's carrying us. And the best thing we can do is to not fight the change, but to flow with it. And for those who cling to the shore or cling to the stones, it's going to be much more difficult. But the more that we can flow with it and flow with the changes, the more we'll be able to, it's just the easier it'll be for us. And then the other thing was not to take things personally. We are well-trained in this culture to take things personally. Everything's got to do with, well, this must be happening because I'm thinking, saying, feeling, or doing something off, or this is happening in a good way because I'm thinking, saying, or feeling, or doing something right. It's like, no, we need to let go of this. There's a big collective, there's no doubt that what we think, say, and feel, and do contributes, but there's a huge collective, there's something, the world's much bigger than we are, and Native indigenous cultures throughout the world don't have that idea of this kind of individual, personal idea. Somebody was asking me the other day anyway, we got to talking about the ancestors and personal boundaries and that kind of thing, and I said, you know, there's a lot of talk about healing this in myself, and which we need to heal ourselves first, and healing our own ancestors, but it's not personal. It's not like, whoa, my ancestors had this wound, and I'm responsible for this, and I'm carrying my ancestors. No, it's more like we are, how we walk and how we, the more that we plant beauty into the ground and how we live our lives, the more that heals our ancestors. And we can always consciously send the healing and the light and the beauty and the prayers back to our wounded ancestors. And at the same time, we can open to our ancestors and give thanks for the ways in which, in all the good things that they planted in the earth, and let their wisdom and guidance help us. Our ancestors very much want to help us, and they're still there and want to help us. I remember hearing Sabanfu Somme, who was an African woman, grew up in a small tribal village in Africa, and one time she was looking out at a whole crowd of people she was lecturing, and she said, lecturing to here in the States, and she said, you people have so many unemployed ancestors. So there's our personal ancestors, and then also it's like broadening it out, like when we talked about Tonglen, the practice of Tonglen, realizing that it's not just our personal ancestors, but all the ancestors. And it's not for us to carry them. It's for us to pick up the baton in the relay race of one generation to the next and carry it as far forward as we can, and in that way heal seven generations forward and seven generations back. So in the context of that, one of the things that can be very powerful for ourselves as well as for others as well as for ourselves is gratitude. And the power of gratitude is, we all know it's good to be grateful and, oh, remember to be thankful and all of that sort of thing. But to actually pull it into embodiment and experience it, gratitude is it's an energy that we put out, and it also especially in these times, it can be very helpful for pulling us out of despair and endings and, oh my God, species are dying and people are sick and this is happening and that's happening and, you know, the climate and all of that sort of thing. But to be grateful for the tree that is here, to be grateful for the return of the eagles, to be grateful for the return of the buffalo, to be grateful for the kindness of one little person, to be grateful for, the horse that just came to the door, you know, and brought joy and brought his medicine here to this lecture, to this gathering. So I don't want to talk too much more about gratitude because it's too much in our head. So what I would like to do is bring us on, actually do a ceremony of gratitude. And we'll all do this together. I do have a few notes here I just noticed. Maybe I ought to pay attention to them. These are a few more notes about gratitude. Gratitude feeds life. When we are grateful, so I'm grateful for that cedar. It's sort of like if I'm grateful to Lauren for what she's doing for me, or I'm grateful for how she is on the land and for the herbs she's growing. I'm grateful for what a fabulous parent she is. It feeds her. And we all have that experience of being fed by somebody else's gratitude. We all need to be appreciated. So gratitude is a form of praise and appreciation as well. And as I'm talking to you, I'm looking out the window. I am so grateful myself to be in the forest. I live in the forest, and I'm so grateful, especially in these times of, you know, when everyone's doing this social isolation thing and having to kind of be in their homes, I can just go out the door and walk for hours. And so I look out the window now, and even as I'm talking to you, I see this beautiful cedar, this beautiful red cedar, and the green and the extraordinary vivid colors, and I feel so grateful that I can see that and that I'm here, and that and then I can feel this connection in my heart with this cedar as I look at the cedar, and the cedar is grateful right back for the connection. And it feeds life more than we know, and it also feeds what Martine Prechtel puts so well. He calls it the holy or the sacred in life. What I would say, it feeds the sacredness, it feeds the vitality, the vital force we would call in homeopathy, of all of nature when we exude gratitude. And it reminds us of the beauty in our lives. Sometimes I feel really grateful just to be grateful. I want to share a story with you about the rain. This is like the drought was really first starting to really kick in big. It was in 2000 or 2001, and down here in Southern Oregon, we really got hit by drought. It's quite dry down here, and this was a winter where it just was not raining, and the weather people kept predicting rain, and it kept not raining, and I would go out and pray at my altar and feed the rain spirits and with my ceremonies, but no rain, no rain, day after day. And finally, it was March, and I went out, and I was sitting at my altar and giving thanks for the rain and the water and then pleading with the rain, you know, oh my gosh, you know, where are you? We miss you. You're usually here. You're usually pouring. The mountains are usually covered in snow. It's like, we miss you. We miss you. Where are you? And there was one, it was a bright blue sky. It should have been pouring, and it was a bright blue sky. And there was one little cumulus cloud in the sky. And suddenly, as I was praying, I felt this little spirit, this little rain spirit in that one little cloud call up, look down at me in surprise. And the voice of the rain spirit said, oh, I didn't think you people wanted us down there. So just being gratitude, just being grateful for the rain and the weather, we scapegoat the weather like crazy. We're always complaining about the weather. And in the Pacific Northwest, it used to be quite popular to complain about the rain and complain about the rain. And so we want to watch ourselves, how we complain about things. We complain about the cold or we complain about the heat. And we don't know it, but we really affect the weather when we do that. So shortly after that, or sometime after that, I heard a story about a man who was on the Hopi Reservation. And he had the fortune to be able to attend a ceremony with a rain calling ceremony or a rain dance ceremony. And the elder, who is the intercessor for the ceremony, did 4 days of chanting, 4 days of chanting specifically to the rain. And at the end of the 4 days, the rain started, the rains came. And we know many of those kinds of stories. We hear many of those kinds of stories from Native America. But this man was witness to that. And afterwards, when they were sitting around at the feast that followed the ceremony, he said to the elder, what did you do to persuade the rain to come? What did you ask? How did you ask the rain to come? And the elder said to him, oh, I didn't ask the rain for anything. And the man said, what did you do then? And the elder replied to him, I just gave thanks for all the ways that the rain blesses us. I just gave thanks. For 4 days he gave thanks. And at the end of that time, the rain came. So gratitude is really important. gratitude. So let's go into the ceremony. This is a ceremony, again, that one of the elders that I was so blessed to work with, Annie Kahn, I keep talking about her, and I've had many elders, but she seems to be coming up a lot lately. I guess she's haunting me from the spirit world. That's a good haunting. And so what we're going to do is I'm going to take you in and just have you move down into your bodies again, like we have done before for these other journeys. Just bring your energy down by intending, first of all. Just bring your energy down into your body, down into your throat and into your chest, and let your energy fill your heart and fill your belly, down into your pelvis, down your legs, your knees, just relaxing and filling your body with your spirit. Down through your lower legs, into your feet. Just feel your body. And now feel your feet on the earth. Connected to the earth. Feel the invisible roots that connect us to the earth. And feel how your body is a part of the earth. And when we come into our bodies, we come into the earth. And just allow those roots that come out of our feet to just connect us to the earth. And then as we do that, also feel how much the earth reaches up and reconnects to us and fills us. This is your mother. This is our mother. This is the mother of the four-legged of all creation, of all of our relatives. And she loves each of us as if we were the only one. And now, as you feel her, just before you, the way opens up. You're in nature now, and there's an opening, like a path, like a trail, but it's wide. It's narrow, and then it widens out into a great meadow. And within the meadow, there's a huge circle of stones. And we're going to go in through the south. There's a large stone at the south. In each of the major directions, there's a large stone. We're going to go in through the south. The south is the place of little child. And as Jesus said, we enter the kingdom of heaven as little children. We must be like little children to enter the kingdom of heaven. And so as we enter this beautiful medicine wheel, this beautiful altar of stones, we enter through the south as little children, humble in the vastness of the universe and cared for. And now we'll turn to the left and go to the next stone. We'll walk to the next stone, the next large stone. There are small stones in between the large stones, making the big circle. And when we get to the next large stone, we're in the west. And now we'll sit facing that stone, feeling the earth beneath us. And we face the direction of the west where the sun sets. A time of letting go. And as we let go of the old ways in which this world has run, we can give thanks to the west for this opportunity of release, for the cycles that come, the setting sun, and just give thanks for this opportunity to release what no longer serves. And in this way, lighten our burden and make us open and empty for the new light that will birth in the east. Here we can give thanks to what we've lost, what we've had to let go of. We can give thanks that it was in our lives and that it blessed us. the West is also a place of inner worlds. It's a place where we go within. At the end of the day, we go within. And it is in these inner places that we dream, that we explore our own spirit, that we can begin to plant the seeds of new life with our dreaming, with our visualizations, with our wishes, and our heartfelt prayers. And as things are releasing, we can bring in what we'd like to see happen. It's a place of dreaming. Let us give thanks for the ways in which we have been able to see ourselves, to move through transformation that brings healing. We give thanks for the healing that's come into our lives, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual. And giving thanks for the beauty, for the journey, the inward journeys that have shown us also the beauty that is within each of us. That we are not these wounds that we carry, that we go in to explore, but also that the West takes us on that journey that helps us to find the beauty within ourselves. And give thanks for that beauty. I'm just going to rattle a little bit and leave you in the West to give thanks. Okay, now we're going to stand up, pick ourselves up off the earth, and we're going to move clockwise again to the next large stone that stands in the north. It sits in the north on the earth. Following the in-between stones, we walk along. We get to the north, and again, we sit ourselves on the earth. This is the place of the deep night, the place of winter. This is the place of the buffalo. It's the place of wisdom and elders, the place of the elders and of wisdom. It's the place of stillness and silence and of holding the dream. It's a place where we hold the dream, the seeds of our dreaming that we planted in the West. Now we hold within. We hold our dreams within. And so let us give thanks to the medicine we've received from the North. Give thanks to the snows that come in winter, for the fun that we've had in the snow, whether you're a skier or a sledder. Just remember those moments and give thanks for those moments. Give thanks for a walk outside and huge flakes of snow. You can give thanks for a deep sleep at night, for the regeneration of sleep and the dreams that come and guide us, spontaneously arising within the night, from the wisdom of our deep souls, from the wisdom of the elders. Just give thanks. You might remember the elders that have blessed your life. And give thanks for those people. Just feel the gratitude in your heart about how blessed you were to have that person in your life. To have those elder teachings and that guidance. You can give thanks for the stillness. And the quiet. And I'm going to, again, I'm going to leave you in the north, and I'm going to rattle while you give thanks to these gifts that have come from this direction. Okay, filling your heart with that wisdom from that direction of the north. We're going to get up from our sitting position and walk clockwise again along the stones that make the circle, and the next big stone is in the east. And so a place where the sun rises. And so we sit down in front of that stone facing that direction. And now we're moving out of the night and we can see the rising sun. And we can give thanks for that sun. Let us give thanks that after the darkest night, the sun always rises. And let it remind us that the sun will rise out of this COVID thing. The sun will rise again. And let that just fill our hearts, that hope and that knowing and that inspiration of the East. And we give thanks. Let us give thanks to the rising sun. Let us give thanks for this moment, and this moment not take it for granted, but really realize what an amazing thing it is. What a miracle it is that the earth hangs around and circles around the sun. What an extraordinary thing that is. And just let that in. Let that gratitude in. And give thanks to Father Sun. Give thanks for that light birthing. For that new birth, for spring flowers, for new dreams sprouting. For the enlightenment of the great masters, for all the spiritual teachers we've had that have blessed us and helped us along the way, for those that have preceded us in this direction of rebirth. So we give thanks to that direction in the east. And again, I'm going to rattle and let you sit with that. With that, and give thanks for rebirth and all the different ways that life has rebirthed through our lives. The cycles and also personal ways in which after a loss there's been rebirth. After something was lost to us, the rebirth that happened. And bring that up into our hearts and give thanks for those moments and give thanks to the spirit of the East and for those East moments, those rebirthing moments. Okay, now we're going to stand up again and go clockwise along the stones and go back to the south. South is like the place of the children of playfulness and magic. This is a place where we are in innocence and trust. It's a place of the mouse and the little birds, the little children. And so as we sit in front of this stone facing the South, let us give thanks for those moments in our lives, for the moments that we can laugh and tease and know joy and humor and even the darkest times, with that medicine and bringing that and giving joy for the children who make us laugh and remind us to play. And allow yourself to just give thanks for those moments, for the beautiful moments in our childhood, for the beautiful moments of our childlike self, no matter how old we are, for those moments of playfulness, for those moments when we're able to trust in the greater plan or in a good friend, trust in the love of the earth, love of so many people around us and of our animals, the love of the plants and even the stones. And let us just take a moment to give thanks. And feel that gratitude. Feel it from your heart. Feel that gratitude in our hearts, not just from our heads and making a list, but feel, what is it in the South that has blessed us that we're so grateful for? And now from this place of the South, we're going to turn to the center of the medicine wheel. And there's a great tree in the center. It's a tree of life. And so standing in the South, you can go as close to that tree as you want. You can hug that tree. This is a tree of life. And we can just let this tree bless us as we give thanks to Father Sky. And just standing there in front of the tree, we can lift our arms and give thanks for the sun and the rain, for vitality, for the masculine energies within and without, our own male spirits, the men in our lives, boys, the male animals that are in our lives, just giving thanks for that principle and for vitality. And we might take a moment to think of the men in our lives. And this isn't about, you know, where people are at on the gender continuum, but for that masculine energy in the people around us. So it might even be somebody who's not identified as male, but who carries that male energy in a good way. Just giving thanks for the masculine and letting that in and appreciating the gifts that we've received and feel that from our hearts. Feel the gratitude of the sky. We are all children of Father Sky and Mother Earth. And without the medicine of the sky, of the sun and the rain, there would not be life here. And so we give thanks to the sky. Thank you. now in the same place by this tree, in front of this tree. Let it sit down on the earth again. And the tree, as the tree puts its branches into the earth, let us renew the roots we have into the earth and let our energy go into the earth and feel the gratitude we have for the earth, for the feminine principle that comes through all life and within us and without us, thanking the women or those people in our lives who express the feminine so well. Just feeling that gratitude in our hearts, feeling the gratitude of the earth and all she gives, feeling the gratitude of our mothers and our grandmothers who birthed us. No matter who our mothers or grandmothers were, feeling gratitude for the good that they did bring us. The blessings of love that came when they were able to come. Just feeling and absorbing and feeling gratitude. And feeling gratitude to our great mother, the earth. Just let our hearts fill with that gratitude. Now we stand again and step back from the tree. So we're midway between the center of the circle and the perimeter of the circle. And let us dance. Hold our hands up and dance our gratitude to the Great Spirit who is in all directions, above and below and within each of us. And just allow yourself to dance around the circle and give thanks for the Great Spirit. Feel the gratitude. Feel your gratitude for the Great Spirit. Allow your heart to open to the gifts of the Great Spirit, to your connection with the Great Spirit, to this moment of knowing that connection and feeling that connection with the Great Spirit through this gratitude. That position in the south and begin to dance towards that stone in the south and then bring your dance down to a walk and walk through that gateway, through that stone and off of the altar back onto the trail that broad trail that narrows down to bring you back into the room that we're in, back into this present reality. And let's all sing together a simple child song of thanks. And this is how it goes, and I invite you to join me. In fact, let's all unmute and sing together. So we'll sing it four times through. You can listen to me sing it the first time and then sing it with me, and don't worry about having the perfect voice. Have the child's voice. Be like the little child. Don't worry about being perfectly in tune. Just sing from your heart. What's important is authenticity and sincerity and coming from the heart. Thanks to the Mother Earth, and thanks to the Father, Son, and thanks to the spirits in the garden square. Mother and Father are one. Thanks, 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 thanks Got any questions? Well, probably not. Even heard. Any questions there?
Hey.
Let, make sure you unmute yourself. Don't forget to unmute yourself. I can still hear some noise back there.
Hey, Jansen Crow, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you. So if everybody could go ahead and mute themselves once more. Dancing Crow, we have not had any questions come in.
Okay.
So I'll just say again, folks, if you want to send a question, we would be very grateful. Send it to dancingcrowherbs@yahoo.com.
So I will address one question that came through last week, and that was, there's some clicking noise. Are other people hearing that?
Yeah.
I can't tell who it is. It sounds like typing. I'm going to mute all and then unmute Dancing Crow and mute Lauren.
Thanks, Brittany.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Good. No more clicking. Okay, so one of the questions that came through last week was somebody, my good friend Stephanie put this question in, and she said, what is one, do you have the questions right there, Lauren? Probably not, huh? Okay, I'll paraphrase it. But
yeah,
she basically asked if there was one specific practice that we could really focus on. You know, like have one practice that would really be helpful to us that we could use on a daily basis. And, you know, in other words, make it simple, Dancing Crow. Could you just boil it down to one thing? Anyway, the question reminded me of an interview I saw with Dr. John Bastier, who was a greatly revered elder in our profession, who I had the fortune to meet, you know, in his later years. And some of my teachers had the fortune to actually work with. He was really extraordinary. He had so many tools. He was a naturopath and a chiropractor. He was an extraordinary homeopath, an extraordinary herbalist. He really was good with his hands. He did lots of nutrition, of course, and lots of different types of body work, visceral manipulation, regular chiropractic, and he was an obstetrician. He loved his medicine, and he had a huge heart. So during this interview, someone said to him, Dr. Bastier, if you had to choose only one tool, what would that tool be? And Dr. Bastier got the most pained expression on his face. Because really, the gift of naturopathic medicine is that we have so many tools. And then in one moment, this tool is just the right tool. In the other moment, the other tool is just the right tool. Sometimes what we need to do is just release that gallbladder that's a little stuck, and now the herbs are working better. And the specific thing that's needed is that visceral manipulation. I remember having a patient one time who had suffered this deep depression, lifelong suicidal depression. You would never know it to meet her. And I did a lot of different things for her, but it struck me that the really one thing she needed was Hawthorne. And I gave her Hawthorne, and she came out of it, And she went into sheer joy, and she said, don't take that herb away from me. Don't take that herb away from me. So for her, it was that one herb. And so really, Stephanie, I hate to tell you, but I can't boil it down to one thing. But there are some things we can do regularly that, because it can be overwhelming, so one thing we can do regularly that can help us to keep focused is practices like Tonglen, I think, are really timely. And I'll talk about that practice again a little bit. And Ho'oponopono, the Hawaiian practice, I think is another one, where we're really connecting. I think that medicine of really connecting, reconnecting, because we are, our primary wound really now in these times is this wound of separation. So anything, any practices we can do that reconnect us. Just doing Om is huge. A lot of people chant Om, and that is their spiritual practice. And there are other things they develop along the way. But I think it's a good question in terms of, you know, having one central focus and then other medicines as we need them, other practices as we need them. So when Annie gave me this gratitude ceremony, that was really the ceremony I needed. And I needed to do it with her. And it really helped to reconnect me. I had been trying to do that ceremony alone or to do gratitude alone, not that specific ceremony because she gave me that ceremony. But it wasn't working, and I'm usually good at gratitude. And then she called me up, and she would always call me at 7 in the morning. I'd always be asleep or just waking up, and I would never hear the phone ring. I would only hear her on the answering machine. Every time she called me, I never heard the phone ring, only the answering machine. And I had the old-fashioned answering machine, fortunately, because I'd hear her, Dancing Crow! This is Annie Kahn! And I'd jump out of bed, and it was always like that. I don't know why. And I'd run to the phone, and she said, I'm going to do this ceremony in 2 hours. I want you to do this ceremony with me. And she gave me that ceremony. And in that moment, it was the gratitude ceremony that I needed. I needed that to heal my heart, and I needed to do it with her and not alone. And so another time, you know, it might be a completely different ceremony. But the Tonglen ceremony I'll review just briefly. And in the Tonglen ceremony, whatever pain we're feeling, whether it's collective pain or personal pain or emotional pain, spiritual pain, physical pain, instead of fighting and blocking that pain, we welcome it into the compassionate space of the heart. And so right away we're reconnecting. We're reconnecting to all those things we are always blocking out. We're reconnecting to those parts of ourselves that are hurting, that need to be brought into the heart. And then we can feel into it. As we feel it and just let it be in compassion, not ask anything, not try to fix it, then spontaneously images of healing or feelings of healing will begin to come from the heart. We can always invite in the great compassionate goddess Kuan Yin or Sophia or Mother Mary or others that we know of to come and merge with our hearts. And so we're really welcoming those parts of ourselves into the greater heart of the divine feminine, divine mother, or the earth, Gaia. And then once we feel that healing, we imagine everybody else. We welcome everybody else who's having that same pain into our heart. And although that seems overwhelming, it actually connects us and helps us to realize this pain that I'm feeling isn't my pain. It's not personal to me. I'm not the only one feeling it. It's part of being human. It's just part of being human. And it immediately begins to lift as we share it. And then we share that, and then we send that healing out. We breathe that healing out to all who need it. That healing we felt in our own hearts. For ourselves, we breathe out to all creation. And so that is one practice I cannot recommend enough. And the other practice is the practice of Ho'oponopono, in which we send out, this is particularly helpful when there's, stress between people or an adversarial relationship or somebody who's, even somebody who's in prison, people who are suffering in some way, that we can send out to them this prayer. And basically, there are four lines to it. And the first line is, if there is any way in which I have contributed to your situation, please forgive me. It doesn't say it's not blaming ourselves, it's not blaming them, it's just saying, if indeed there's any way in which I have contributed to this situation, please forgive me. I'm sorry. I love you. Thank you. So those are the two practices that I think are a really good focus, and each person will have their different practices that are really good focus, really the central focus for keeping your spiritual practice disciplined and focused and not scattered. And so in that sense, it's a very good question. And the central practice may shift. So as the needs shift, our central practice may shift. We may do Om for a while, and then there may be a need to do a different way of praying. Some people say the rosary every day, and that has huge power and huge, it's huge. So whatever that practice is, it's to have one focused practice is a good idea, and then to use other practices as needed. Okay, I hope that answers your question, Stephanie. Are there any other questions there, Lauren?
Yeah, we did have one come in.
Okay.
So this is from Dr. T. And
oh, hi. Yeah.
And the question is, how would someone arrive at gratitude when their past has events that are unforgivable? Or for them, it's unforgivable because it's too intense or painful. Examples, sexual abuse, violence, or betrayals. And then there's a PS to the question, when they can't get beyond the personal part, like they're still hanging on to it because there's still some kind of woundology.
My answer to that would be that it's a process and that we honor the place we're in the process. And the other thing, that's a very good question because we're always trying to forgive. And forgiveness is divine. That's been my experience, that what I want is to, that in my practice, like rather than trying to forgive somebody and bring it down to that personal level, when I heal enough within myself, forgiveness flows through. And so the first person I have to forgive is, or bring forgiveness to, and really forgiveness isn't the word I like to use so much as compassion. Because when we bring compassion, forgiveness just flows. Trying to force ourselves to forgive or think we should be in forgiveness is like judging ourselves. And like, oh, I'm not okay the way I am because I'm not forgiving. No, forget about forgiving and bring compassion. And first we have to start with ourselves in the stuck place we're in. Like, I feel so angry at this person. I can't ever forgive them. I can't ever feel okay about that. And then we have to, and that's okay. That's actually okay to be in that place. It's not okay to spew hate or lash out at that person out of that place, but it's okay to be in that place. It's not okay to be stuck in that place. We don't want to be stuck in that place, but we might be in that place for a while. And so we welcome that place in. We do Tung Glen with it. We welcome our own pain in, and we heal ourselves first. And that kind of healing comes through process and through the divine, through having compassion with ourselves and just continuing to work with it in that way. And then sometimes the gratitude, I can't tell you how to feel gratitude in that moment, but we can feel gratitude for something small around that. We can feel gratitude, maybe we'll feel gratitude that we're in a space where we can be allowed to acknowledge the pain, that we have help with the pain, that somebody's listening to the pain, that finally this problem of, like, say, sexual abuse that has been going on really under the covers, for so long, is finally in the last generation or two being acknowledged and brought out into the light. And so there's always something to be grateful for. There's always something. People have managed to find light in Auschwitz. There are people who have come out of Auschwitz that managed to hang on to the light. And so I often, in those kinds of situations, I often turn to those people or to the black slaves who sang. Their children being sold down the river, for God's sake. Can you imagine anything worse? And yet they sang. They sang those songs, and they had that solidarity, and they just call on those ancestors. When we call on the ancestors, we don't have to call on the strength of of our own personal ancestors. I often think about the black people as much as I do as my Lakota ancestors. I often think about them. And just let the way they walked in this earth and the pride they carried within themselves and how they hung together and how they sang together, how they lived their lives, how they put one foot in front of another, I let that fill me. And so that's another thing, is we don't have to do these things alone. And once we heal within ourselves, then the compassion for the adversary comes. I think the other thing too is that it's important to recognize, especially within that victim abuser archetype, we all, it's like a, it's an archetype that we can get stuck in. And when we're stuck in it, we have to work with it. And terrible, terrible things happen to people. But as we heal ourselves, we want to realize that this is an archetype that's been going on for a long time. It's part of this dominator archetype that we were first sending Om to in the beginning. And that is a real Jungian perspective that I so respect and I'm so grateful for, because it does help us to get out of that personal and begin to see the bigger pattern that is happening. You know, that's a big pattern of domination and abuse. And it's really about domination and having the power. And abuse is really about dominating somebody else and putting somebody else down. And so being able to step out of that and see that bigger picture can help us to extricate from being caught in the victim or the oppressor part of it. Is that helpful, T? You can unmute to answer.
Yes. Yes, okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate that perspective.
Yeah, thanks. I hope that helps. It's very difficult because, you know, I don't know, there's just been so much pain so much abuse. It's just amazing. I remember this friend of mine on the Red Road, she said one time, you know, in some ways people have been so terrible together to each other for so long that it's really a miracle when anyone's kind to one another. And I often think about that. And there's a lot of kindness, you know. There's a lot of kindness, and I think that's another thing to be grateful for, is the kindness, giving thanks for these tiny little things, you know, like even somebody's smile, you know, or sometimes I give thanks for the clothes somebody wears. I'm walking down the street and somebody's got like a really bright and pretty outfit on, and it brightens me up. It's like a bright flower. And and watching that and giving thanks for that, for giving thanks for, and then saying to that person, whoa, I really like your skirt, you know, and recognize, and I, over the time I've recognized that how somebody, you know, how somebody presents themselves in the world or how they dress can sometimes brighten me up. You know, when they wear something really pretty, it's like it's spreading beauty and it's like a flower. Even the smallest things, we can always, always find places to be grateful. But we have to remind ourselves of that. And sometimes we have to do it in ceremony with other people. And it's hard to do all this by ourselves. We're not meant to be by ourselves. We're herd animals, like the horses, like the one that just visited today. That horse is a herd animal, and we're herd animals too. And certainly we like our isolation and our private time, but we're primarily herd animals. It's like Jesus said, when two or more are gathered in my name, then I am there. So when we can't give gratitude alone and we're just feeling real negative, it can be helpful to have somebody else there. And, you know, everybody goes through periods of feeling very negative. It doesn't make us a bad person. Life is hard. Life can be a great, joyful, fun adventure, and it can be a really dark adventure. And you think, why am I doing this anyway? And so everybody goes through those times, and everybody goes through periods of negativity. And so we just have to keep bringing ourselves back. And sometimes we just have to let that negativity into our hearts and bless it and have compassion for that, but not beat ourselves up about it. But there's always places to find gratitude. It's just a question of really, shifting our intention. So thank you. That's a good question. Any others, Lauren?
None others that have come through, no.
Okay.
But I can read the ones from last time in front of you. I can read them to you if you'd like.
There's just one left, right?
There was the one about anger and boundaries.
Yeah, I think we've covered the other. I'm actually going to move on because I think we've only got about 20 minutes.
Yep.
And I want to do another journey, which I just did with a friend. It just came spontaneously through one day when I was drumming for a friend, and it was very powerful, and I thought, oh, I have to share this with the group. So I'm going to go back again to the tumultuous changes that the Earth is going through right now. And that whole thing about what the Hopi said about flowing with it, just flow with the changes. And I'm going to bring us into the earth and bring us into a place where we can surrender into her changes and let her hold us and guide us and release the tensions that we have. And I'll lead you through it, but it was very powerful. So let's bring our energy down again. And I'm also going to bring in the ginkgo tree, because the ginkgo tree is a great and wise elder. Great and wise elder. The ginkgo tree has lived for thousands of years and has lived for several cataclysmic changes. So I really want to bring the spirit of that plant in. The ginkgo tree is, you know, it really helps our mind. It helps to bring, it helps to heal the mind. It helps to tie up toxins. It increases circulation to the mind, to the brain. So it really helps our brains. But it's also this very, its spirit is this very wise, calm elder. Its ability to, it actually has something in the Canubrium that keeps it from dying. So it actually has a kind of eternity thing built into it. And it can, it's not that the individual trees never die, but individual trees can live for hundreds of years. And the species itself has survived, you know, millennia. So, and this tree has been through several cataclysmic changes, great earth changes, which is what we're heading into now. The earth is going through a great renewal, but the ginkgo can really remind us that, can and help us to teach us, not so much like in a lesson, but in just aligning with the ginkgo and aligning our spirits with the ginkgo, we can take in some of that medicine for how to survive and how to elegantly maneuver these times. There are four ginkgo trees. A friend of mine just reminded me about this. There are four ginkgo trees that survived Hiroshima. Four ginkgo trees. And the only damage was some charred bark. That's extraordinary. So these are amazingly strong trees and can teach us a lot about strength and perseverance during cataclysmic times and huge earth changes. So we're going to start by working with the ginkgo. And just journeying with that. And so let's bring ourselves into the earth again, bring into ourselves into our earth body, bring our feet down. And just imagine yourselves in front of a ginkgo tree. For those of you that don't know what the ginkgo tree looks like, just trust that spirit to come to you and just know that it's a tree. And so just visualize yourself in front of a tree. Just call on the spirit of that grandfather. Incredibly wise, wise elder. And now let's just visualize ourselves sitting in front of that tree. Sitting in front of the ginkgo tree. And let that ginkgo tree know whatever needs you want to present to that tree in terms of your own experience in negotiating these times. And just let your heart open to that grandfather. And there's no need for intellectual understanding. In fact, that will be limiting. Just allow the ginkgo tree to bless you. Feel the spirit of that wise, wise elder coming through that tree, incarnate through that tree. The tree itself, a wise, wise elder. And just open your heart and let that plant spirit come in and bless you, fill your cells. You can share any concerns you have with that tree. You might pick up some of the leaves that have fallen on the ground and put them in your mouth and chew on them. Just let yourself have that visceral experience, that taste of that leaf in your mouth. And you might merge with the tree, let your body merge with the tree so that you're one inside the tree. And just let that tree work with you, giving you strength and wisdom to come through these times. I'm going to rattle a bit and leave us with that tree. And now merged with the tree, allow yourself to just sink in through the roots and sink into the earth. And just feel her. Let her welcome you in. Feel yourselves really in the womb of the mother, in the arms of the mother. The earth is truly, physically, our mother. That's not a metaphor. It's actual. Feel it as an actuality. Experience her as your mother. Just feel how your own earth body is literally from her. And feel yourself as one with her. And just let her soothe our spirits. Let her hold you. And all the concerns you have about the present and the future and about the instabilities of life, especially during these times, just release them. You can cry into her arms as she holds you. This is your mother. You can sob into her. She's there and she's big enough to hold you. To share your concerns and release them. Release them to her. All the fears and money worries, health worries, whatever they are, worries about the climate, whatever they are, just release them and just surrender and let her take them. Just put that load down for a while. And then as you feel lighter, allow yourself to surrender into her will and trust. This is a time that has been prophesied. This is a cycle. This is a great, huge cycle. And as dark as it seems, it's preceding a birth of something new and extraordinarily beautiful. And the prophecies around the world tell us that. Promise us rebirth. But in the moment, just surrender to the bigger plan, to the earth changes, and just let her hold you and surrender to the flow of nature, to the flow of nature. To the will of the Great Spirit coming through Mother Earth. Mother, I feel you under my feet. Mother, I feel your heartbeat. Mother, I feel you under my feet. Mother, I feel your heartbeat. Hey, 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 oh. Hey, 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 oh. Hey, 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 oh. Hey, 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 oh. Mother, I feel you under my feet. Mother, I feel your heartbeat. Mother, I feel you under my feet. Mother, I feel your heartbeat. Hey, 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 oh. Hey, 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 oh. Hey, 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 oh. 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 Hey, 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 oh. Hey, 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 ooh. now with your roots, like the roots of the ginkgo, planted deep in the earth, resurrect up from the earth into the trunk of the tree. And bring your arms up like the branches of the tree to receive the life from the sky, from the sun, from the rain. And fill yourselves with the wisdom and love of the earth coming from above, from below, and the sun and the light and the rain, the life and the vitality of the sky from above, coming through the branches and blessing you as surely as it blesses the leaves. And like the leaves that photosynthesize and take that light and bring it into physical form, bring that light into the physical form of your body and let it bless every cell. Let it fill your belly, meeting with the energy of Mother Earth, filling your heart and filling your belly, and the two energies mixing together and bringing life and joy and celebration to every cell in your body. Such huge light that it radiates out to all that you meet. And then hanging on to that radiant light, you give thanks to the ginkgo and step out from merging with that tree. And again, now the tree is standing in front of you, and you feel yourself, your own tree-like nature, connected to the earth and connected to the sky and connected to yourself, connected to life. And feel the radiance of your own life force filling you and radiating out. And then keeping that radiance and keeping that light, bring yourselves back into the room. Back to the conversation. Back to everyday life. But this too is part of everyday life. Oh, welcome back. Thank you, all of you. We still have about 7 or 8 minutes left. Are there any other questions or comments that you've gotten, Lauren?
None that have come through, no.
Okay. Anything you'd ask, Lauren? Anything you'd like to hear added or that you would add yourself?
You know, maybe, is there any, for people that are maybe new to even the concept of there being, you know, prophecies of these times from around the world, is there any resources that you can suggest, like to point people where they can kind of familiarize? Because I know for me, it's such a, I don't know, protection and source of strength and light during these times. So do you have any, yeah, just like suggestions on resources for people?
Oh, gosh, you know, I haven't think about that because I've just sort of gotten it by osmosis or something, it feels like. And I think so much of it's word of mouth, you know, that it's certainly in Native traditions. A lot of it has come to me through that. I was very blessed to hear a delivery of the Hopi prophecy twice. You're supposed to hear it 4 times to make it truly yours, so I have 2 more times to go. So a lot of it's just been kind of handed around verbally, and I can't say that I know of any specific resources. You definitely could go online, though, and the Hopi prophecy in particular, and the Hopi prophecy, and just find out about it. And that quote of whatever that quote is, I wish I could put my hands on it and tell you exactly where that was about going down that river. I don't know. Do you have any good resources, Lauren?
Yeah, my favorite one is the work of the 13 Indigenous Grandmothers. If you're not familiar with their work, I highly recommend checking it out.
I'll save telling the magical story of how they came together for your own research. But there's a book that the 13 grandmothers put out that I believe is called Grandmothers Counsel the World. And that some of the prophecies are woven in to the story of the different grandmothers. That's the best resource I know that's like somewhat cross-cultural. So yeah, that's again the 13 indigenous grandmothers, and their book I believe is called Grandmothers Counsel the World.
Then
go ahead.
One resource that I've always loved very much is a CD you once recommended to me by Martine Prechtel.
On grief and praise.
Yes, it was great.
Yeah. Yeah, and the website that that's available on is floweringmountain.com, www.floweringmountain.com. And I believe it's available, like, free now, and not as a CD, but I don't know. Technology always changes, but it's called On Grief and Praise. And that's actually mostly how I've learned it. It's woven in. The prophecies are woven into so many little lectures here that I've heard from Native people or, you know, hanging out with Native people. It's all woven in because it's all woven into life and the cycles of life. So it's not usually, you know, there's the Hopi prophecy and the Mayan prophecy, but it's more, it just comes in through the stories and But the Hopi prophecy is very interesting. It really, because all the prophecy has happened. And at the end of the prophecy, there's a fork. Just before the fork, the prophecy tells us that there will be all these inventions. And what happens next depends on how we relate to those inventions, whether we worship those inventions or we work with them to serve all creation, work with them in a good way. So, but it is true what Lauren says, that knowing something about prophecy helps us to realize that there's something bigger going on, and it helps us to just flow with it and trust in it. There's also a book, he doesn't talk specifically about specific prophecies per se, but Michael Mead has written a book called Why the World Never Ends, Why the World Doesn't End, or Why the World Never Ends. I just lent it to my friend, so I can't pick it up and look at it. But Why the World Doesn't End, Michael Mead, and he talks about it in terms of mythology and stories. So it's also woven into all these stories and the old stories. It's kind of just woven in everywhere, but the 13 indigenous grandmothers, however, are the manifestation of a prophecy. Because, and this is, I love this story. I've got 2 minutes to tell you this story. I first heard about them in Little Hodunk Williams, which is a little community that I was living in where Herb Farm is, actually, for those of you who know Herb Farm, where I had my horses and my little ranch and my practice in Grants Pass and Real Hodunk. And we had this little clubhouse. The horse community had like a club and a clubhouse and a big arena. And it was really kind of this little broken down little building, and we had these little funky little meetings, and it was just a little rural area. And one evening, one of our elders who's just passed in September, bless her, and thank you for the way that you've walked in this on this earth, Aggie Pilgrim. Aggie Pilgrim, who's a Takelma elder here, very much respected, led a lot of ceremonies, a great leader in the Native community here locally. She was presenting there, and so I thought, oh, Aggie's going to be talking. That's got to be good. So I went to it, and I was one of a handful of people that were there. She had just come back from New York from the first meeting of the 13 Indigenous grandmothers, and it was the manifestation of a prophecy that foretold that in these changing times there would be 13 Indigenous grandmothers from around the world that would meet. That's extraordinary. And it actually came into manifestation, and here it was right at the very birth of it, and Aggie, who became the spokesperson for the 13 grandmothers, told us about the inception of it, and boy, what a gift, what a something to be grateful for. It was really exciting. So I recommend that those are 13 wise, wise women from around the world, from all different traditions, and I really cannot recommend enough that you get online and take a look at some of those videos. And another great resource, not for just for prophecy, but I think for grounding ourselves in more of this indigenous wisdom, this earth-centered wisdom that has not separated so much out as our culture, as the predominant culture has done, is a resource called earthandspirit.org. Earthandspirit.org. And they actually have had lectures I used to be on the board for a very short time with them there in Portland, and they would bring elders through to lecture like once a month, and they have recorded many, if not all, of those lectures, and they are priceless, absolutely priceless elders that have come through. So that is another really great resource for just generally, and you kind of absorb it through those kinds of things. And I think really watching them and seeing them, the videos, like, it's really, it's just very beautiful. Yeah. So thank you. I think we're about out of time. Any other questions or comments before we close, Lauren?
Nothing else that's come through. Nope.
All right. I'm going to close and turn it over to Lauren. We're a little over time, but I thank you all for being here. This really is just so healing to be able to connect with all of you, and you are all in my hearts in the 2 weeks in between. I'm always thinking about you and praying for all of you, and I thank you for all of your appreciation. Bless you all. Go ahead, Lauren.
Okay. So the recording of this call will be up within a few days on Dancing Crow's website, and please, if you would, feel free to share the recording with your loved ones, your friends, your clients, your people. Neither Dancing Crow or myself are on social media, so helping spread the word would be very, very much appreciated. Also, Dancing Crow doesn't charge for these calls, but donations are very much appreciated. And she also really wanted to thank everybody who has sent a donation thus far for the last two calls. She's so grateful, and it really, really helps. Indigenous traditions around the world place a great emphasis on giving back to the elders, and so thank you for all of you who are keeping that tradition alive and keeping Dancing Crow sharing teachings and wisdom with us. The way you can offer her donations is by going to PayPal and just sending it to her email. It's a different email than the one that I've said earlier in the call, so the email for PayPal is just deborah.francis@yahoo.com. Deborah.francis@yahoo.com. And that is on, there's now a donation page on her website that you can get that information on. I think that's it. So to close, if everybody would go ahead and unmute themselves, or Brittany, if you could unmute everybody. Also, thank you so much, Brittany, for being a Wizard Maiden. What we're going to do is I'm going to have everybody just say thank you, Dancing Crow, and send some words of love and blessing and whatever else. And we'll send her off to you in a blessed up, grateful way. So, all right, 1, 2, 3.
Thank you, Dancing Crow. We love you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Gratitude.
Thank you too. Love to all of you.
All right. Thank you, Dancing Crow, and thank you, everybody. And we'll see you next time. Good night.
Good night.